In the sections that precede this, we have developed the concepts, the field of energy that the ancient and indigenous traditions suggest surround us, that we speak with through the language of our hearts, and now through the experimental evidence under laboratory conditions, those very relationships are being borne out in the language of Western science. Not only does the field link the events of our lives, the field of intelligence reflects what we have become in our hearts. We can think of this field literally as a living organism, a highly refined substance, a pulsating, vibrating substance that fills in all the spaces where we think nothing exists and mirrors back to us the choices that we've become in our hearts. And this is why when we spoke with the holy man in Tibet, when David shared with me his prayer of rain, they each reminded us that it is the feeling that is the prayer. How real is this feeling in our lives? How do we implement something like this present day? We're not always interested in going out into a field and standing in a medicine wheel and praying rain, for example. And we don't have to, because the understanding that the feeling is the prayer is such a subtle yet powerful concept. And here's the reason why. It's because in every moment of our lives, we're having a feeling. And that means in every moment of our lives, we are engaged in a modality of prayer. And the question is, do we know what prayer we are speaking into the world around us? I'm going to share a story with you regarding the power of this modality of prayer and what it means in the healing of one individual. And my intent in sharing the story for one individual is to demonstrate if this internal technology, if what we feel in our hearts can be mirrored in the world around us for one individual, what happens when many, many, many individuals get together and share a common feeling? Once again, I'm planting a seed for where we'll go with our program. So I'd like to begin this story with an experience that I had that was in the year 2000 when I was on a tour with our most recent book, The Isaiah Effect, where I was describing the element of the Dead Sea Scrolls, the great Isaiah scroll, where Isaiah is actually talking about the science, the ancient science of prayer and prophecy and how we implement these in our lives. I was in a studio in northern Colorado, and I was doing some promotional work for my book, and we took a short bathroom break. And at the same time, there was a gentleman who was doing another recording in another studio down the hall, and he was taking his bathroom break, and we began a conversation. And he said to me, he says, "You've got to see this video that I'm working on." He says, "I'm documenting the medicineless hospitals in China." And I'd heard of the medicineless hospitals, the places where people go when they are just the worst of the worst. When Western medical science says we can no longer help you, go and be comfortable until the end of your days. This is the place where people go, and they don't go to a medicineless hospital to get fixed the way that we would consider fixing a medical condition here in the West. Rather, they go into a medicineless hospital to learn new and life-affirming modalities of day-to-day living. When they go into the medicineless hospitals, they learn new and life-affirming ways of taking nourishment into their bodies, the kind of nourishment that quickens the cells and enlivens the life force in their bodies. They learn new and empowering ways of gently moving their bodies to stimulate life force, not strenuous aerobics or running a marathon or intense weightlifting. These are very ancient yet subtle methods of movement that feed the life force back into key areas of their bodies. They learn new and empowering ways to breathe the breath of life into their bodies, life-affirming ways. And at some point during their time in the medicineless hospitals, they may undergo an experience such as I'm about to share with you. So the gentleman down the hall, he said, "I'd like for you to see the video." And I said, "I would love to." And it was a really well done video, very beautiful documentary. And it was shot as if you, the viewer, were behind the camera walking down the streets in Beijing and you're looking at the medicineless hospitals. As the camera approached the medicineless hospital, there's a large cast iron fence, and I could feel my heart begin to race and my anticipation of what we would see inside, and suddenly the narrator came on and simply said, our cameras were not allowed to go beyond this cast iron fence. And I felt my disappointment because I wanted to see what was inside. And this is the way that synchronicity works, because although I did not get to see what was inside in that particular video, I thanked the gentleman for his work, for sharing his video, and I went back into the studio with mine. 2 weeks later, I heard about another teacher who was teaching in the medicineless hospitals in Beijing. And I heard that he was in this country, and I made arrangements to study with this gentleman. And part of the study was the viewing of very, very powerful, very moving video that picked up where the last video clip left off. In other words, this gentleman who had been studying and working with the healing techniques in the medicineless hospitals was allowed into the hospitals to actually video and document the seemingly miraculous experiences that were happening inside. And this is what I'd like to share with you today. The video begins with a woman, apparently middle-aged. She has been diagnosed with what Western medicine has identified as an inoperable bladder cancer, approximately 3 inches in diameter. And I'll just answer some of your questions I know that you're going to have in your mind right now. Because the woman is lying down, she is awake, she is conscious, she is not under any anesthetic, she is participating willingly and believes in the process that she is about to undergo. Behind her are three practitioners who are about to create a process within themselves that will have a direct effect upon the body of the woman with the tumor. And in front of her, seated, is a technician with an ultrasound wand, just like we'd see in the hospital today if we were looking at the fetus in a woman's womb. So as the video begins, what happens is the camera zooms in on a CRT screen that is a split screen, vertically split into a left half and a right half. And on the left-hand side of the computer screen, we have the opportunity to see through the ultrasound into the woman's bladder. We can see the blackness, the emptiness of her bladder. We can see the outline of her bladder. We can see this 3-inch diameter tumor that is a large white lump at the bottom of the screen. So the technician pushes a button and freezes this image as a reference image on the left-hand side of the screen. So the left-hand side is a reference image of an instant in time. On the right-hand side of the screen is a real-time image. It is not a time lapse, such as the time lapse in a nature film where we see a rose blossom unfold over a period of hours or days. This is real-time image inside the woman's bladder so that we can see her body respond to the techniques that the three practitioners are embodying as they stand next to her. Now, what the practitioners begin doing is they begin to feel a feeling in their bodies as if the woman has already been healed. They are not judging her cancer as good, bad, right, wrong, saying, bad cancer, you've got to go away, or we're going to cut you out, or we're going to irradiate you. They are simply feeling the feeling as if they are in the presence of a woman who is fully enabled, fully capacitated, fully healed. And while they are feeling that feeling, they are working with their own bodies, bringing the force of life into their bodies in conjunction with that feeling, knowing that the world around them will mirror that feeling and the results of that feeling, just as David's feeling of rain was mirrored in the world around him on a much larger scale. They begin to say a word between the three of them, and there's no magic in the word. My understanding, as I questioned the gentleman I was studying with, there was no magic in the word. They could have used any word. It was simply a word that they had agreed upon that was essentially a chant that would reinforce, a mantra that would reinforce for them the feeling as if the woman were already healed.